Welcome. We're going to start now. Hilchos Bas B'Cholov. We're up to Shir 1 and Simen Pei Zayin Sif Aleph. And let us start. So the Mechaber starts with the Gemara that says in the Torah that you can't cook Bas B'Cholov three times. One is to forbid eating it. One to forbid having pleasure from it. And the third time to tell us that there's a special iser to cook the Bas B'Cholov. So those are three distinct isurim prohibitions by Bas B'Cholov. Now, as a hakdama, introduction to Bas B'Cholov, we brought in the notes the Primigodim, who gives a few differences between Bas B'Cholov in general and other isurim. So, the first thing he says that is not so prevalent by other Yisurin that Bas B'Cholov has is this Isser Hanoh, this prohibition to have pleasure from it. Right? Most Yisurin, besides a few others, it's only a prohibition to eat, no prohibition to have in general Hanoh. You can sell it to a Goy and have other Hanohs with it. You can put it into your fire in order to give heat or anything else. But Bas B'Cholov, you're not allowed to have any pleasure from it. Another difference, he says, is regarding Chaticha Nas Nevela or Chanan and Efshir L'Sochtoi Oser. Now, this is a concept that we're going to have throughout Bas B'Cholov Taruvus, and we had it in Melicha too. So, it's kedai to explain it another time. So what is Chaticha Nas Nevela? So, you have an Isser being absorbed in the Heter. So, the assumption is the Heter is still a Heter. It's still a piece of Mutter Flesh. The only thing is it's absorbed Isser. So you can't eat the Isser. So you can't eat the Heter because it contains the Isser, not because the Heter is Osir. It doesn't become Osir, it just contains Isser in it. And if theoretically you can eat around the Blias of Isser, so then it would be fine. The only thing is it's impossible to do. So the only thing that you could do is say that it's Osir, you can't eat it. But the actual Heter never turns into Isser, per se. However, by Bas B'Cholov, you can't say that, because there's no Isser getting absorbed the Heter. Meat is Mutter, milk is Mutter. They come together, then that creates the prohibition, by coming together. So does the milk Aser the meat, or the meat Asers the milk? The answer is they Aser each other, and therefore that the Heterim now become Isser. That both the meat is Aser and the milk is Aser. So that is Chaticha Nas Nevela. You have a piece of Heter that turned into Isser. Now we're going to have a Machlokes Rishonim, and which comes out to be a Machlokes Mechaber Ramah, whether we say it by Shar Isurim, by other Isurim, besides Bas B'Cholov. Even though that it really shouldn't apply, however, the question is, did they make a Gezerah, did they enact to forbid to make Chanan by other Isurim, to say that the Heter that absorbed the Isser became a piece of Isser. One of the most common nafkaminas differences that it becomes an Isser, besides that it's, you just can't eat it, is do you need 60 against the whole piece of meat or only against the Isser it absorbed? So, some Rishonim and the Ramah holds like that, hold that because we have to say Chanan by Bas B'Cholov, we say it by all Yisurim also, and it's a Gezeir D'Rabbanan. However, the Mechaber and many Rishonim hold that we don't say Chanan by other Yisurim because they didn't make such a Gezeir, and it only applies by Bas B'Cholov. However, according to everybody, that Bas B'Cholov is the only thing that applies to from the Torah. So that's Chaticha Nas Nevela. The second thing is efshel l'soch dayoser, which means that let's say if you have a piece of heter that absorbed iser, so it becomes oser. Now, we say that even if you try to remove the iser, let's say we cook it a few times in order to dilute it and to make it that it doesn't give any taste anymore, we still say there's something remains behind, even if it's not enough to give taste, and remains oser. Some a lashon that some people use is there's no hagolah by oichlim, by food. You can't do hagolah, you can't just cook it out. Some remains at the end of the day, and therefore it is forbidden. What happens if you would remove it altogether? If there's a process to move it altogether, we'll get it to it in a moment. But for all practical purposes, once a piece of meat or anything becomes oser, because it absorbed iser, it cannot become mutter afterwards. And this is even true to the people who do not hold by chanan, by other isurim. However, the Prima Gadim says that bas b'cholov is different because this principle is oser min ha-toyro by bas b'cholov, and by other isurim, it's only midrabbanan. Another difference that the Prima Gadim brings is regarding tam ki'ikr. We have a idea that if an iser gives taste into a heter, so even though, of course, the piece of heter itself has more volume than the blius it absorbed from the iser, and therefore it should really be bottle bereived. There's more heter than iser, so it should be, the iser should be bottle. However, the Torah says tam ki ikr. If you can taste it, it's like it's there, and it's not bottle, and that is it becomes oser. Now, from the Torah, bas b'cholov is the only thing that everybody agrees tam ki ikr. That how does a piece of meat become oser or a cup of milk if it gets taste? From the meat gets taste from the milk, and the milk gets taste from the baser, and therefore that is tam ki ikr from the Torah. Other isurim is aser, but there is a machloikis, and there's also machloikis mishonim who to pask in light. If the tam ki ikr is a deraisa or a drabonon, and the big nafkamina would be if it's a suffik. And do we say Safik deraisa l'chumra or Safik derabbanan l'kula? Now we're going to paskin in the beginning of Taruvus that tam ki ikr is min ha-toyro, that even by other isurim, that if it gives tates, it's oser from the Torah. However, but as we mentioned, it's a machloikis, even though we paskin that it's oser. However, by bas b'cholov, it's oser min ha-toyro according to everyone. So another nafkamina he brings is once you say chanan from the Torah by bas b'cholov, that the piece of meat becomes oser, so if you eat a kazayas of that piece of meat, you can get malchus for it. And even though there's not a kazayas of the milk that absorbed, still, since the piece of meat becomes oser, So it becomes chanan, and therefore you're eating a kezias of treif. However, a heter piece of meat that absorbs some treifis in it, so since it's only the tam that's oser, not the piece of meat is oser, definitely not min ha-toyrah. Therefore, if you eat a kezias of that meat, you don't get malchus because you didn't eat a kezias of iser. You only ate a kezias of heter food that contain within it somewhat of iser, but it's not a kezias of iser. So those are the nafkaminas. Let us get to the next topic. So the Rambam says that bas b'cholov is min ha-nikvarim. What does that mean? That it's supposed to be buried? Because there are two categories by iser hano where isurim that are you can't have pleasure from, how to get rid of them. One, the Torah says that you gotta burn them. And an example of that, at least according to many Paiskim, is what we do by chomitz on Pesach, that that they held that it's min and asrafim, and therefore that's why we exactly dafka do burning, because that's the mitzvah according to many rishonim. And there's other isurim that it's mamish min and asrafim, that we know that it's the ones that has to be burnt. And there are others that don't have to be burnt, they just have to be disposed on. And that's min and kvarim, that it should be buried, it should be someplace put out of sight, put out of usage. However, there's no specific way that you have to really destroy it. So therefore, one of the nafkaminas is, what happens after you burn it? So if it's min an asrafim, if it's from the ones that's supposed to be burnt, since you already did your mitzvah of burning it, so then what's left over, the ashes, are permitted to have anah, because you already finished the mitzvah. The Torah says you can't have anah as is, you have to burn it. But after burning it, it is permitted, and therefore you can use the ash. However, if it's min an akvarim, if it's things that has to be buried, so the burning doesn't do its mitzvah. So if it doesn't do its mitzvah by burning it, so by burning it, it remains osir. So the ashes are osir. So the Rambam says that therefore, since it's min hanikvarim, it's supposed to be buried, not burnt. If it's burnt, the ashes remain forbidden. You can't have you can't put it on your wound or whatever other things that you might have uses for ash. Now, the Minchas Yaakov, along with other Achronim, they also bevarn, they also bring the question over here. Now, we brought up the idea of Efshar L'Soichat HaYosar, that even if you're trying to remove all the Isser from it, it remains Osir. You can't get it out completely, and therefore, it remains Osir, even though you can't taste it anymore. But the Minchas Yaakov understands it, that what happens if you remove it altogether? If you have some kind of process that you can remove it altogether, is it permitted or is it not permitted? So he assumes that if you can get rid of it completely, there's no Isser there to begin with, to end with, that it's completely free from any Isser, it goes back to being mutter. If so, if you can take this piece of meat and remove all of the milk to make sure there's not even a molecule of milk left, it should be permitted. So if so, if you burn it, it comes ash. There's no milk there. So why shouldn't it be permitted by the very fact that you got rid of all the milk? That is the Minchas Yaakov's position over here, that even if it's min ha-kvarim, even if you should be buried, but once you burn it, the ashes should be mutter. However, the Prima Gordon says that this concept, that if you get rid of it 1,000%, that it's nothing there, if there's still an Isser here, is dependent on a machlokes, an argument between the Shach and the Taz, later on in Simon Kufhei. So the halacha is that if you have something absorbed in a piece of meat, let's say you have Isser absorbed into the piece of meat, it cannot go from one piece of meat into another piece of meat without having any rotev, any gravy, any liquid bringing it that if it's just two solid pieces of meat. So one piece of meat can take its own blias and put it into the next piece of meat, at least a kedei netilo, a finger's worth, because because that's how much it can go through roasting. We're going to get to, if it's fatty, well, it can go in more, but at least that etzba, that piece of meat. But that's only the meat itself. However, what it absorbed, what's inside the piece of meat, it cannot leave at all. So let's say you have a piece of meat that absorbed milk. So it's a piece of basa b'cholov. It's put next to another piece of meat. So we know that there is basar going from one meat to the other, because since it's touching and it's the meat itself, the meat can travel to the other piece of meat without any roitiv, without any liquid. However, the milk which is stuck inside the piece of meat, that can't go out of the piece of meat unless there's, and it falls into a stew and there's liquid and it's going to bring it out. However, just by being a hot piece of meat next to another piece of meat, it's not going to go out because absorptions can't go out from one piece of meat to another without any liquid. Therefore, we know what's going out is 100% basar, 0% milk. So the Taz says, it doesn't answer the other piece of meat because we know there's no basar b'chalav go traveling. It's only pure basar. However, the Shach says that it does answer the other piece of meat. Why? Because the basar is nevela. So even though there's no milk going out, but the basar is treif for basar that's going. So therefore, it answers the other piece of meat. So the prima godin comes out, since we paskin like the Shach over the Taz in this case, so therefore, we got to be machmir, and after it's burnt, like the Rambam, say the ash is usur, even though there's no milk remaining within the ash. Then we bring in the notes quite a few ways of the combination, you can combine the milk with the meat. And what are the halachas by them? Now, they're all going to be usur if there are blias. The question is, again, that we say that it's only usur, the basar b'chalav from the Torah, if it was cooked. If it wasn't cooked, even if the blias came through some other way, it is permitted. So therefore, we got to understand what is the difference. When is it a deraisa? When do we say that it was cooked in a way that it becomes that it's an issa deraisa? Or is it only an issa derabanan? So let's look at them. Okay, the first thing we talk about is kli rishon. What is a kli rishon? You have a keli on the fire, and that is a kli rishon. Even after it's removed from the fire, since it's so hot, because it was directly cooked on the fire, we say that it still can cook even off the fire. So therefore, forget about the blias, that besides by blias, it's actual cooking. Therefore, it's an issa deraisa. So in the notes, it brings a machlokes between the Pri Chodesh, who says that it has to remain inside of it to be cooked enough to be at least kemeichel ben nesoy, which is a half or a third cooked. Without that, it's just, it's not to the shear, the measure amount that needs to be cooked to be considered cooked. While the prima godin holds no, it's deraisa right away. It starts cooking right away. It is usur. That is number one. Number two, if it wasn't cooked, but it came through, let's call it a cold process, like salting, right? You touch it, you're not going to get burnt, right? Or if it's being pickled in water, let's say you put it the basar in chol for 24 hours, and therefore it chains blias. So that's only a issur derabanan, because it's not derech bishul, it's not the way of cooking, it's only being used through a cold process. So therefore, it's only awesome mid rabbanon, and therefore it gets the coolest leniencies of the rabbanons, and one of them will explain toward the end of the shir, that one of the main differences of the deraisa and the rabbanons. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out a very, very important thing to remember, that it's only the rabbanon as is. However, if you take that piece of meat now and cook it, now if it absorbed, now there's a piece of meat with the absorption of milk in there, and now you're cooking it. So you're cooking the meat and the milk together at this point. So who cares if the original way that it got absorbed was only a derabbanan dika way, but right now it's being cooked together. So now it turns into a doiraisa. That is number two. Number three is cham letzoich tzoinim. You have a piece of hot meat that falls into cold milk. Now, we're going to be talking about this idea of iroi, of pouring. Something that you have, something that's hot, falling onto something cold. Now, we're going to paskin later on in Hilchas Bas Becholov that tato govar, that we say that the overwhelming, when you have a hot meeting with a cold, that the bottom piece overwhelms the top piece. So if the bottom piece is cold, it's going to cool down the top piece. If the bottom piece is hot, it's going to heat up the top piece. And therefore, considered like it fell into something hot. Therefore, in this case, by Iroi, when a hot thing falls into a cold thing, we say that it's going to cool it down. However, as it's cooling down, it's going to be mevashel, it's going to cook, or at least bring blias in, as we're going to explain, a kedei klipa. For that moment, as it gets cooled down, a little blia goes in, like a peel's worth, as much as like you can peel it off, and that much is going to be aser. Now, there are two types of iroi of pouring. One is shenifsek hakiluach, that the stream stopped. In other words, by the time of the contact of the water or whatever is falling on, it has no connection to the pot that's being poured from, so it doesn't have that reinforcement of heat from the pot. So that is a less of a darga of a level of heat, and therefore it's more lenient in a way than if it would still be connected. If it's loy nifsak hakiluach, if the stream is still being poured from on top, and therefore the stream is connected to the pot on top, and did not stop that stream, that is a more chomerdik, stringent. So even though that usually we say that it's only ases k'dei klipa, but the nafkamina, the big difference is it just bliois? Is it only exchanging absorptions, or there's actually cooking taking place? So we're gonna make a different. Make a differentiation between if it's nifsek hakluach, if it's not connected to on top. So in that case, we'll just call it blias. It only brings in absorptions. However, it's not going to be a real cooking, and therefore it's only a drabonon. So in this case, where a solid falls into, hot solid falls into cold milk, since by definition, the solid is no longer connected to where it fell from the heat source that it fell from, it's only going to be a non-bishul, and therefore, regarding bas b'cholov, it's only be drabonon. Okay, so number four is a klisheni. Now, we're going to have a controversy later on in Taruvos, whether a klisheni, that if it's going to even give off blias. But even if you say that it gives off blias, but it's not going to be bishul, it's not going to cook. We know a klisheni does not cook. It might give up absorptions, according to some Rishonim. However, it's not going to cook. So for an Issa deraisa, a Bas B'cholov, you'll never have an Eklisheni. So even if you're going to be Machmer in Eklisheni, for absorptions, you're not going to answer it as a Issa Bas B'cholov from the Torah, because it's not going to be cooked. Number five is the iroi shenifsek etshaloi nifsek akluach, that's a direct pour from the pot and it's still connected to the water in the pot. It goes all the way up to the pot. That's what we say that it's more stringent. So even so, that there's a machloikis rishonim. There's Tosis who brings a machloikis whether that's really bishul or is it only also absorptions, and therefore we call it a suffik deraisa, because maybe, according to the shitas that hold that iroi is mevashel, it does cook, it will answer that k'dei klipa, that first peel's worth, to make a deraisa, and those who say that it doesn't cook, it will only give absorption, so therefore it's only drabonim because it doesn't cook. Number six is tzli, is roasting. Now cooking, we think as you have a pot of milk and you put the meat in there and they're cooking together, that's cooking. Now is roasting included in cooking? It is preparing food through a heat source, so it's very similar to cooking. So maybe it's included within cooking. On the other hand, it is not cooking. It's roasting. It could be a whole different action, a whole different verb. And therefore, when the Torah says don't cook, roasting might not be considered among them. So this is a big controversy among the Poskim. So let me just explain. So, you know, one raya, one proof for each side. So there's a pasuk they bring from Divrei Hayomim. I don't know why they have to bring from Divrei Hayomim, because you have a similar pasuk in the Torah, which we lay in during Chol Hamoed, that says, V'shalta es haPesach. They cook the Pesach. Now, we know the Korban Pesach has to be roasted. Kiyum Tzliyesh, you have to roast it. And yet, the Torah calls it bishul. So we see that tzli is part of bishul. Roasting is under the category of cooking. That's the raya, that tzli should be osur from the Torah. Now the Chavetz Das pushes this proof off because there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that says that the word yodoi could mean a possession, your possession. Not that it's mamish in your hand, because there's a pasuk that says they took the land from his hands. Now, obviously, he's not holding up the land. So when we say hands, it means it's from his possession. So the Gemara wanted to bring a raya that whenever it says yodoi, it can mean only possession. It doesn't have to be in your hand. However, the Gemara rejects that by saying that you're right, that yodoi sometimes means hands and a possession, and that, like in the case of the land, there is no way to read it except for to say possession. However, when it says yodoi regularly, and it could mean hand, we should assume that it means hands and not possessions. It's only when he can't learn it any other way, we're in context, it doesn't fit in, then you have to say it's possession. So the same thing over here. So really, bishul does not mean roasting. Unless the connotation, whenever it says bishul, you shouldn't assume that means cooking. Unless there's no other way to read it, like the case of Korban Pesach. However, by bishul bas b'cholov, there's no reason to assume that it doesn't mean anything besides bishul, and it shouldn't include tzli. So that's one side. Now, the side to say that it is permitted, min haTorah at least, is because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin in the beginning that has an argument whether yesh aim lemikro or aim lemesoris. What's the main drasha? When you have a different way that's written than the way that we have the mesorah to read a word, what is the main drasha to make? And therefore, the Gemara asks, according to the Manda Amr, that we don't really go according to the way that we have Masor to read it, we go the way that it's written. How do we know that there's an Isser to cook Basar Becholov in milk? Perhaps, without the Nekudos, without the vowels, we can read it Basar Becholov, Basar in fats. So maybe the Torah is asking basar in fats and not basar in milk. So the Gemara says because it wouldn't call it bishul, it would be considered tigun, it would be considered as you are frying it. So therefore we see that assuming the frying and roasting are very similar, and it's not similar to cooking, that cooking is dafka, is exact, and it's only cooking that's also from the Torah. But any other way of preparing it, even with heat, like roasting or frying, would be only osim irbonim, but not part of the deraisa of cooking basa b'cholov. Now the Pri Chodesh pushes off this idea and says that perhaps it's only over there where it has to be, you have to pick one out of the other, and therefore if it's a choice between cholov and chalev, which one fits in much better, so cholov fits in much better into the word cooking because you're actually doing cooking. But since fats, you would have to do tigun, even if it's included in bishul. It's not saying is that it doesn't fit into bishul, but you wouldn't use bishul when you can use a better word, in order that you shouldn't confuse it to think that it means cholov. So since it used the word that is more applicable by milk than by fats, so therefore it's we say it must be referring to milk. However, to say that the bishul does not include roasting or tigun, perhaps not. So those are somewhat of a raya. So now are the rayas and the what each side does with the other one's proof. Now when you look at 7, so that's tigun frying. So until now we assumed that frying and roasting are in the same category, and therefore that each one that is, so therefore we just lumped them together. However, the Minchas Yaakov wants to reconcile the two proofs by saying that roasting and frying are two separate things. And therefore, Enochanami, the Pasuk says, Uvashalta es a Pesach, you cook the Pesach, because roasting is cooking. However, Chalev wouldn't fit into Bishul Basa B'cholov because that is frying. And frying is not included in Bishul. And he brings a proof that because we need a special posik to forbid tzlik keder, which means that you're roasting in a pot for Korban Pesach, and we don't consider that b'chal in the prohibition of cooking it. So we see, and he compares this roasting in a pot like frying, and therefore we see that frying is not included in cooking. So therefore, he says that Sli is also from the Torah. However, roasting is also from the Torah. However, frying, Tigun, is permitted from the Torah. And the Primi Gadim ends off to say, in a Hefzeruba, we can rely on this Minchas Yaakov and treat Tigun, frying, as a Drabonon. Number 8 is Cham B'Cham, where you have two solids. There's no liquids at all. Milk is usually with something that's liquid. So therefore, this heat says it's a Rebbe Kiva Eger that says it's only a Durabonon. And this is what they say. So regarding cheeseburgers, since it's Cham B'Cham, according to this, it would only be a Durabonon. And you can take on the leniencies of it, of the Durabonon. Okay. And the ninth thing is smoking, and we'll get to it when we'll get to it. It says we'll see later on in Sivvav, and we'll get to it. Okay, the next thing in the notes is Bishul Acher Bishul. So, it starts off with the Pesach Tshuva brings from the Shaar Ephraim that says that if you have butter that became Basa B'cholov, you can't use it as fuel for the menorah. Now, it can't be because it's Asa B'hanah, and that's why you can't use it for fuel, because it's also banoid. You can't have pleasure. Because we paskin that mitzvahs are not given to have pleasure from. So therefore, since you're not mitzvahs are not considered having pleasure, so you can do mitzvahs with things that are also bahano. But his problem is that it doesn't have a shear. Because we say iser hano is missing the shear. So since you need it to last half an hour, and this is considered as if it doesn't have any shear, it doesn't have any volume to it, so you don't have the shear of Nir Chanukah. That's what he says, which is a chiddush, because you would think that when the Torah says, when we have this concept of Isir Hanah, doesn't have a shear, it's usually by those that have to be burned. So we looked at as it, if it's burned. So if you have a lulav that was from served as avodah zarah and it has to be burnt, so it doesn't have four tvachim because it's ash. It's not, it doesn't have a shear. However, he seems to compare it even though that basim cholov is minena kvarim and doesn't have to be burnt. But anyhow, now he brings the Eli Rabba, who says that you have a different problem over here. And the problem is when you light this thing that's basim cholov, that has, so you're cooking it together, right? The little amount that's around the lip is being cooked by the fire, by the flame, and therefore you have a problem with bishul basim cholov. However, we bring the Prima Godim, who makes a chilek that you only have a bishul of basim cholov when it's in the first combination. The first time you're combining them, that's when it, there's an issur bishul basim cholov, and then you don't say ein bishul acher bishul, even if they were first originally cooked by themselves. But as long as this is the first cooking that combines them, that's when you have an issur of bishul of basim cholov. However, if they were already combined and basim cholov to begin with, and now you're cooking them, then there's no bishul after the words, there's no iser bishul to mevashul it as bishul basim cholov, so there wouldn't be any problem lighting it to say that perhaps the flame is cooking the basim cholov together. And the, so one of the nafkaminas that we're going to, that between basim cholov min haTorah and basim cholov that's midrabanan is that do you have to be machmer in the other two isurim? So we said there's three isurim, so one of them is eating, and basim cholov midrabanan is definitely also to eat. Now the question is, could you cook it? And could you, and could you have pleasure from it? So the Mordechai says that you could, that they were only enacted to aser the eating and not the bishul, the cooking or having hanah. The Marshal Grada is machmir because he says once they made the gzerah, they made the gzerah to mirror the deraisa completely. However, the Achroin, both the Shach and Taz, both disagrees with the Mashal, and that's why Paskin, that you can cook or have hanah from Bas B'chol D'Rabbanan. But as we said before from the Rav Akiva Eiger, that if the D'Rabbanan is not because the items are D'Rabbanans, but because the way that it absorbed is mid-Rabbanan, now you can't cook it, because now you're cooking Bas B'cholov, and therefore it becomes Bas B'cholov mid-Raisa, so you're cooking Bas B'cholov, and that would be an Isser Bas B'cholov. Okay. But Hanah is definitely permitted by Bas B'cholov D'Rabbanan, no matter which, how it becomes Bas B'cholov Midrabanan. Okay, the last thing we'll talk about is we're going to move to Sif Beis, where we say that even though the Pasuk says that you can't cook a kid in its mother's milk, but it's lav davka, just talking about the regular common case, but it's talking about any piece of meat with any milk. And the Sheir brings the Aruch HaShulchan and wants to say it's even a Kal V'Chomer. Because I might think that a child's milk into the mother, a child into a mother's milk might be permitted because once upon a time they were one entity. The child and the mother and the milk. So they all came from the same place. So perhaps we shouldn't aser. It's not really considered as a mixture of two different things. So kamash milan, even that is osir, and of course the basar and cholov that comes from two different entities are definitely osir min haTorah.